Good morning, Pine Grove. Ooh, that's loud. Maybe we can tone me down a bit. Hello, everyone. That's not down. The other way. Test. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. All right. This is actually I'm turned off. Hello. Test. All right. So what we're going to do while this gets set up, and actually it spills out into the message really well, actually, this little moment. What I'm going to ask you to do is everyone stand up. If you can't tell, this is something I actually do every time I speak. Turn to someone around you and have the opportunity to shake hands. Say welcome. Let them know that you're appreciated to be here. If there's somebody new, give them a hug. Maybe even a holy kiss. Just kidding about the holy kiss. I don't want to have any lawsuits. All right, we're going to get you all to come and settle back down. That is enough community for now. We don't need any more community. You're all cut off. All right. So this morning we are going to be talking about probably one of my absolute favorite characters in the Bible. So this summer we are doing a new series. I don't even call it a series. It's going to be a bunch of messages about characters in the Bible. And so over the summer we're going to be kind of looking at different people. I was given discretion to choose who I wanted, and so I chose Timothy. Timothy is a person who I have identified with since I was like probably in early university. Somebody that he has two books of the New Testament are actually written to him by Paul. But when you stop and you look through the book of Acts and through the other epistles, Timothy pops out all over the place. Like, he is not just kind of this recipient of these two wonderful epistles, these letters that are, I think, incredibly rich in instruction and church leadership and, well, leadership in general. But Timothy pops up everywhere and is involved in all kinds of really cool, challenging, unique situations throughout. And so I've titled the message Timothy, believer, disciple, leader. And I would say if that really is from what we glean from the New Testament and these various times when he comes up, this is really his life. Believer, disciple, leader. And if you're going to be taking Cole's notes or if you're going to tweet out the message, this is really what the message is about, is a transition in one's life into being a believer, transitioning to being a disciple, and from a disciple being a leader. Yes, they're not distinct, they're not necessarily separate, and there's not necessarily a one where one stops and the other one ends. But really, this is the transition that we see through Timothy's life. And so I wanted to bring you with me as we kind of flip through his life and how God transformed him into being able to effectively impact others that are around him. So today we're going to do kind of four things. So the first one is we're going to look at kind of a chronology of Timothy's life. Two, we're going to look at Timothy pursuing God's call. Now, if you're going to look at Timothy, it is impossible not to look at who? Paul. And so we're also going to look at Paul about building into the next generation. And then finally, the last thing we're going to look at is about you. And about how you are in being a Timothy, or how you are at being a Paul. And what that means in terms of our lives, in being able to grow in our faith, grow as a disciple, and grow as a leader. So that's where we're going to go this morning. Let us pray, and then we'll move on. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word and how it instructs us. It challenges us. It teaches us. And Lord, when we get enough time to kind of bathe in it, to soak in it, Lord, how it transforms our lives. Lord, we thank you for the example that was set out in Timothy. Lord, for his many adventures. And Father, help us to be able to take what information away from this today. Amen. So I'm going to walk through, as I said, walk through a bit of a chronology of Timothy's life. And so this is not comprehensive. This is the best that I could do with a bunch of resources, both online, we have at the house, as well as just reading through the text. So it doesn't all fit together necessarily. I may be missing a few things, but I think this provides a pretty good overview. And so what you're going to see kind of on this map is these red arrows are going to be popping up and popping on and popping off. And this is kind of around different, I would call them seasons of Timothy's life. And it, you'll see how they move around, and it speaks to the various different seasons, but also the different challenges and opportunities that he had over life. So first, our first glimpse into Timothy is in Acts 16. So I would encourage you to go over to Acts 16. One, if you have a Bible. Oh, I forgot mine. Sorry. So we're going to pick this up, and then Paul is just starting his second missionary trip. So he's already been into this region once. He's preached the gospel. He has gone off, and he's had the Council of Jerusalem, where he and a number of the other key disciples met and worked through some theological issues. And now Paul is now out on his second missions trip. And so we pick this up at 16:1. And so 16:1 says, "And he, Paul, came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but of a Greek father, who was well spoken of by the brothers in Lystra in Iconium. Paul wanted this one to go with him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that place, for they all knew his father was a Greek. And as they went through the towns, they passed on to them and to observe the rules that had been decided by the apostles, that Council of Jerusalem, and the elders who were, and so the churches were being strengthened in faith and were growing in number every day." So this is where we pick up Timothy in Lystra. So Paul meets him. He's well spoken of. People like him. He's well regarded. And he's, frankly, he's quite young. Like, if I was to guesstimate an age, and this is not an exact science, but this is what a number of commentators have thought, he's probably in his late teens, early 20s. I'm going to say kind of like a Hannah, Alex DeRouchy-ish age. But he's well spoken and he's well thought of at this point in his life already. So sometime between when Paul went around from his first missionary trip to the second missionary trip, Timothy has become a believer. He is will learn that he his mother and his grandmother were strong in their faith, and they discipled him, and he was now well known throughout this region for being a strong Christian. So Paul takes him, and he goes out to these other regions in the area. And we kind of, as you follow through Acts 16, so they go to, I'm going to butcher these words, so just follow the arrow. So they go out to the towns that are surrounding that area. Then, they kind of reconvene back in Lystra, and then they go out to Mysia and Tros. Tros is actually where Paul, a number of decades later, is actually arrested. So they're out into these areas. Okay, so this is season one of Timothy's life. Now, if you're in Timothy's shoes, he is a young man by most standards. He's relatively young in his faith. We don't get a sense that he has any Jewish, wasn't part of a Jewish synagogue or training because his father was Greek. And so this is a time of his life where he is studying under Paul. Like he is, I don't know, if he's the roadie in the Paul band or if he's the helper that comes along, but Paul sees something special in him, and he does what with him? He does life with him. He brings him along. He brings him for the opportunities. He experiences life together. Okay? So then there's this kind of break in the timeline of Paul, and he shows back up in Berea, right here, on the other side of the Aegean Sea. So they've crossed over the Aegean at some point. We don't know where it happened. And we pick it up here in, I believe it's about Acts 17. And the Jews in the area found that Paul was there, and they were, frankly, upset. They started persecuting him, started persecuting the new Christians in the area. And Paul escapes down to Athens. So he takes the boat down to Athens. But he instructs Timothy and Silas to stay back in Berea, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to be involved. Now, at this point, Timothy is really still the understudy of Silas, who is really Paul's primary companion. But he's left kind of, frankly, without Paul, in, I would say, probably a circumstance. So if Paul is having to escape to Athens, there is not just like they're calling him bad names, right? He's escaping because there's probably his life is in danger. So it's a bit of a hairy situation. Eventually, Silas and Timothy go down to Athens. And then we kind of finish that. All right. Now, this is kind of where the next time we see Timothy, he's being sent up on a special trip to Thessalonica, so back up north into the Aegean Sea. This is really his first kind of, I would call it, leadership opportunity. It talks about this as in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 2. It talks about this as the first opportunity to kind of provide special, to go into encourage and to strengthen the persecuted church. So, and we read about in Thessalonica is that it's written in the past tense. So Timothy has gone up there, and now he's reported back to Paul on what he's encouraged. The next time we find him is that, in the Thessalonians was recorded in, was probably written when Paul was in Corinth. And so there's this opportunity where Timothy has gone from Thessalonica and they come back to Corinth. So that's another little season in his life. The next time we pick up Timothy is in Ephesus. So between the period of about 54 to 57, we know that Paul spent about 3 years in Ephesus, really establishing the church there, strengthening the church. It was one of the major hubs of Asia Minor at the time. And we know that for almost the majority of the time, or at least parts of the time, Timothy was there with him. And Ephesus, you'll see later on, becomes important in Timothy's life. And so he was involved there. Sorry. Then Paul sends Timothy back to Corinth. And we know that Timothy was also, that Paul eventually, after he was done in Ephesus, went back to Corinth, because that's where he wrote his letter to the Romans, was there. Timothy was with him in there. And then We know that Paul, that Timothy was with Paul for Paul's, I would call it his goodbye tour. So he knew that the things were coming to an end with his ministry. And you'll watch kind of this progress. So they started, it talks about in Greece. And they went into Macedonia. It doesn't say specifically where in Greece or Macedonia. And they start working their way back to Jerusalem. And so Paul's with Timothy is with Paul for this trip. So I'll just kind of flip through it for the sake of time. So Timothy is now not only started out Asia Minor and toured parts of Greece, but now we know for sure that he has actually toured most of the Christian world at that time. And through this, he probably would have met most of the key disciples or key apostles, disciples, and church leaders throughout the Christian world. Also at this point, we know that at some point, Timothy is sent back by Paul to become the leader, or the they call it the first bishop in some texts, the first leader of Ephesus. So he was sent there to be a bishop, to head the church of Ephesus. So this is really, he's no longer Paul's apprentice, where he's going out and doing small trips for him, encouraging, going into specific kind of, I would call it, tactical opportunities. This is an opportunity where he's actually gone to give leadership. So he's put in charge of the church in Ephesus. And he stays there for, as far as we know, non-biblical texts have him there, like there's a non-canonical, non-biblical, called the Act of Timothy, Acts of Timothy, that have him dying in Ephesus in 97, just trying to stop a protest at one time. So he would have been an older man by that point. But that's not biblical text, it's non-biblical text. But the point is that he's likely to have stayed on in Ephesus for the rest of his life. Two other little things. We do know that when Paul wrote to the Philippians when he was in jail in Rome, that he indicated that he was going to send Timothy to them. We don't know if that happened. We also know that in 2 Timothy, the last known letter that Paul wrote, that he called Timothy to come and see him in Rome. He was in house arrest, so way over the other side of the map. We also don't know whether he went over there. So that's why those two don't have arrows. But there is the potential that he may have traveled as well to those places. Okay? So, but we go back to the beginning of the talk. And the reason I spell this out, it's a bit of a detail, is you see the transition over Timothy's life. He goes from believer, a young man, to growing disciple, where he gets increased opportunities to grow in his faith, increased opportunities for experience, increased opportunity for knowledge and for leadership. And he steps eventually into becoming one of the key leaders in one of the most important churches in the known world at that time, in Ephesus. So what does this mean in terms of Timothy? And I'm going to kind of unpack this a little bit. And what this four kind of key things that come out of this chronology that we can kind of, that we have the opportunity to acknowledge. One is excellence of character. Now, when they were starting this, Paul's first missionary trip, and he went out, there was new believers, and the Acts talks about a lot of new believers that were coming out at that time. There is not many people that Paul invites to come along. Paul took a specific and keen interest in Timothy. Why? You go back to Acts 16. Because he was of notable character amongst the believers there. So despite being a young man, despite being younger in age, younger in faith, Paul recognized, or the people that were there in the community recognized, that he had something unique and gifted about him. He had a reputation. The Greek word is mature, to mature, but just frankly, to speak well of. And they spoke well of him. What does this mean? Regardless of where you are in your Christian faith, your reputation actually is fairly important. Your reputation is fairly important. And we're not talking here about stained glasses or facades. But when you have a leadership gift in you, and you see this throughout Paul's letters to him throughout the years, that you build and you grow your gifts. Two, Timothy chose a surrendered life. So he had the opportunity. So now, if you were kind of reversed to your younger age, and this traveling missionary came up to your town and said, I don't know, Paul, do you want to come with me? We're going to go tour the towns and preach the gospel. And you're young, you're of a new sect of faith, you're of a new order, you're not well known, you have these Jews that are pretty antagonistic to the Jewish community, that are pretty antagonistic to this new way. And this guy who's been around, came around a couple years ago, said, come with me. And you kind of, all right, well, I'll go on the adventure. He says, by the way, you got to get circumcised. And then Timothy not only does that, but he goes off and he lives in this, in frankly, a lot of discomfort for a long time. Like, I kind of relate to this, not the more intimate parts, but when you're called, there is opportunity, the comforts of life, the securities of life, things, frankly, that can be kind of a barrier to your own development and growth. You choose to set those aside. And Timothy does that. The comforts of life, the securities of life, and he sets those aside for the opportunity to follow the call that God had put on his life. The third thing that kind of comes out through the study of Timothy, I find him incredibly relatable human being. If you look in 2 Timothy 1:4-8 and also in 1 Corinthians 6:18, Timothy is anything but a perfect person. It talks about him having stomach ills, so stop drinking water, switch to wine because it'll help to heal yourself. So he's got some kind of malady, some kind of illness or physiological issue. Commentators talk about the tone and the language that Paul uses, that he was probably fairly timid, quiet or meek is kind of often the words that are described to him, which is a bit ironic given what he's done, but just his personality is quiet, meek, timid. In the Corinthians, he says, make sure he has nothing to fear when he shows up. Why would Paul say that? Well, because he's probably maybe a little bit afraid from time to time. I like this because Timothy is somebody who is not perfect. And frankly, this is kind of, you go through the quote, the heroes of the Bible. I find a lot of them are pretty relatable. Peter made some pretty big oopses, right? Denied the Messiah three times, cut off a guy's ear. David has his follies. Like, literally, you go through, quote, the heroes of the Bible, male and female. There are all kinds of faults that they make throughout. Timothy is no exception to that. And despite that, he just pursues God's call in his life. The fourth one I'll just highlight here is that it appears that Timothy is very others-focused, externally focused, focused on serving others. You know, those I don't know how many people have heard of this I Am Second series where people talk about, they give testimony to God, I Am Second. Well, Timothy seems to lay this out. I don't know if you have. You can go to 2 Philippians 2:20 to 22. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. He says, I have no one else like him, Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son of his father, he served me in the work of the gospel. I'll just highlight down there to verse 20. Who will show genuine concern for your welfare. So Timothy's not just a guy who is following along, who came to faith, who loves God and is living a surrendered life. But he's doing kind of, frankly, what the Great Commission is. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and to, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul's testifying here to the Philippians that Timothy's a kid, at this point, a young man, probably a man actually at this point, who is others-focused. He is into serving others. And as we make the transition from believer to disciple to leader, it is in leading that we actually serve the most. You are the most leaders are service-oriented, or as they call it, as a well-known term, servant leadership. Over his time, Timothy is well known at serving others. So I'm going to put a little pin in Timothy. We're going to come back to Paul. So as I said at the beginning, you can't talk about Timothy without talking about Paul, right? They were the mentorship, the relationship is inextricable. Like, they are important. And I look back at my own life, and I look at whether it is in my faith walk, whether it's my work, my career, whether it's in my parenting. Having somebody that's in the next generation above you that is able to speak into truth into your life, godly truth into your life, is invaluable. Like, even just as being an elder at this church and having the likes of Les and Paul and Danny, sometimes they don't even recognize it, but I come home from meetings, I'll tell Karine, I'm like, huh, hadn't even thought of it that way. Like, or somebody in career where I go to for advice, and I say, hey, I've been struggling through this or wrestling through this issue, and they say, oh, I was there in your shoes 5, 7, 8, 10 years ago. This is how I handled the situation, or this is how I tried it, it went great, or it went really badly, or maybe you should talk to this individual. And parenting, just last weekend, we had a couple of Kitten's uncle and aunt up, and we were sitting around in the backyard chatting, and two, they're like, oh, we didn't do things perfectly, oh, we shouldn't have done this, or we shouldn't have, or we really did well at doing these activities. Having a Paul in your life is Paul, quotes, or Paulette in your life is so, so valuable. But, and I look out at this congregation at Pine Grove here, we have, and you can look around at each other, don't have to look at me. We have one of the most, I think, under-tapped or underutilized resources at this church is the depth and breadth of strong Christians here who have a lot of experience, incredible biblical knowledge. Chris is nodding his head as somebody who's a bit younger as I am. Who can then pour into the next generation, whether you're a Val Miner or if you're a Danny Wright or like I literally, anyway, there is a plethora of strong, mature Christians. And whether you think of yourself as perfect or not, well, no, none of us are. But you can be a Paul or a Paulette to a Roger Smith, to a Chris, to a Cherie, to a Hannah, to come alongside and to invest in and to pour into their lives. So we read through this in terms of Paul. There's a number of things that I want to encourage you with. First, it's founded in love. His relationship with Timothy, by extension, the churches, is founded in love. We talk about 1 Timothy 1:5. Paul sent Timothy there to deal with sent him to Ephesus to deal with people that were teaching false doctrine, or kind of they call it wives' tales or myths. And he talks about that his command, I'm commanding you to do this out of love. The word love, because of course the English word much more constrained, is the word agape love, that covenant love, that divine love. He said the first thing you need to know about doing this is you do it out of love, not out of authority, not out of power, not out of control. It is done out of love. Second thing is, and you notice this across the map that Timothy was on, his adventures. He increased responsibility and empowered him to succeed. Over time, Timothy was given more and more and more responsibilities. Over time, he was also empowered to succeed. Example of this is in Philippians chapter 2. Paul writing to the Philippians says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son of his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things are going with me. So in the Philippians, when Timothy shows up to Philippi, whether he showed up to Philippi, the Philippians have received this letter. Paul has already spoken for him. They're not showing, who is this young punk that's showing up and trying to teach us about the way? Right? Paul has sent a message through already ahead. He said, I commend him. I have given him authority. I have allowed him to speak into this opportunity and give him a stool to stand on. And the last thing Paul does really throughout both of his epistles to Timothy and also you see in Acts is around spiritual formation. Paul puts a huge emphasis on spiritual formation. Knowing the Word of God, having spiritual training, and focusing on the eternal. You roll back all of this stuff and you look at kind of why? Why does this matter? I'm going to direct you to the right side of the screen. J.I. Packard, who is one of the most prolific biblical scholars of the 20th century, and is in the introduction to a commentary on Timothy, had this to say about Timothy, Paul, and particularly missions, in which the context of that Timothy was written. He said, in the 20th century, and frankly, you could apply this to the 21st century, church leadership is often conceived in purely defensive terms. Congregational maintenance and running repairs. But such a view is unbiblically narrow. Mission, loving outreach with the gospel to our neighbors who need to know Christ and the life of his kingdom, must ever be the goal and indeed the context of maintenance. When you look at why Paul did what he did with Timothy, Paul was doing kind of two objectives simultaneously that are interdependent. One, he was trying in his mission work was to help people to know and to understand the gospel, to come to faith. But the other one was also to build sustainable missional communities or churches that were blessing, teaching, worshiping, that were stable communities. Some were successes, some weren't. But the energy it takes to do one is almost about the same energy it takes to do two. Therefore, resources are your biggest thing. Your opportunity cost is whether you have the resources to do number two or you don't do number one. Unless you're building up leaders, unless you're building up others that are going to be able to do growing and sustaining, or we call this macro building and micro building, or sustaining. They both require a huge amount of resources. They both require a huge amount of effort. Paul recognized early on that in order to, it's quite obvious, and you see this kind of throughout Paul's life, that when he went into places, he established leaders. He built into them. He grew for the future. He was out, yes, his gifting was outdoing evangelism, outdoing apologetics, arguing, going through some challenging situations. But doing an evangelistic run isn't much worth it if there's nothing in behind. And you really see that where Timothy's role is building and sustaining that world in behind Paul. So we get kind of this, like, you're always limited in your models. But over here on the left, you have expose, embrace, engage. This is that early believer or early disciple. And it applies to both, and it applies to the leader as well. Sorry, if you can't read it in the back, the first bubble up top says expose. Second one says embrace. Third one says engage. Then next it says equip, extend, and just because I was running out of E's, E mission, or missions. Regardless of whether you're looking into what it means to come to faith, and I certainly hope that you do. If you have not yet, come talk to me. There is the exposure. There is the embrace of it. There is engagement. That's kind of the phase one of the early piece. And then you grow, you're equipped, and you extend. That also applies to discipleship. And then you're going to do missions. If you're a leader, initial exposure to leadership, embracing leadership opportunities, you're engaged in leadership, whether it's helping to run an alpha course, or whether it's leadership to you is helping with VBS that's coming up in a couple weeks. And this is this transition, and I want to encourage you as this model that regardless if you're a Paul, not this Paul, but a Paul or a Paulette, if you are somebody who is, I would say, mature in your faith, your discipleship can look like this, to engage and expose, to equip and extend, right? If you're younger in your faith and you're looking for opportunities, expose and embrace and engage, equip and expand. But the goal always, the ultimate, penultimate goal, is missions. Discipleship for discipleship is not the chief end. Coming to faith is great, but is not the chief end. Ultimately, it's working over for missions. Extending yourself to others. And this is what Timothy's life was really embraces, is this model. So that will finish, and I'll pray, and I hope it was encouraging. Father, thank you for Timothy's life and for the way that you poured out through him, or that he had opportunities. To know you, but also to share about you, that he was adventurous, that he went beyond his comfort zone. And we just pray that all of us here would do that as well. Whether we are a Paul or a Paulette or a young Timothy in our lives. Father, would we take mentorship and discipleship seriously? In Jesus' name, amen.